So I think working the marriage is probably well worth it. Mm-hmm. That unity in marriage mm-hmm. would help this situation tremendously. Yeah. Hopefully the husband is starting to connect with the issue.
Right.
He says
right.
here, my husband is used to it and does not say much.
Yeah, which means, though, but he needs to understand.
You got
to
be engaged.
The dynamic, right. love, he needs love to understand this dynamic.
Yeah. No
and
sign
perhaps,
on Adam.
And right. perhaps right. getting right. a little bit of counseling for the marriage within the local church is probably helpful. That mm-hmm. that way, we mm-hmm. can be on the same page.
Yeah.
Right.
As we're addressing, there's something about a unity in the marriage where, you know, it kind of gives you a little bit of resilience
yeah.
to whatever the in-laws might be bringing your way. Welcome to the Generations Broadcast, friends. Kevin Swanson with you today. Another episode of Discipleship for Dads with Todd Strasser and Bill Roach, a couple of dads and granddads mm-hmm. in studio, all three of us, I guess, grandchildren. Mm-hmm. 9 as of last week.
That's right. 16 on the way.
16?
I have one.
And one. That makes for 26.
Yeah, good.
Not too bad.
Amen.
Among the three granddads and fathers in studio. Now, today, we're coming back to a controversial and difficult subject, in-law questions, revisited, in-laws, in-laws and outlaws, today on the Generations Broadcast. And you know what? We have to come back to this because I think it only affects about 92% of our listening audience.
It does.
I'm just saying it. It just does. And maybe even to some extent, 100%, right? Because, I'm so thankful that our relationship with my parents has been great, and I think in general, it's been really good mm-hmm. across the board.
Amen.
But they're godly people. I mean, they're just godly people. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. understand, not like they don't sin, but it's been great. I mean, praise the Lord.
Right.
Because I have had some in-laws where there's a contrast.
Right.
And in my case, my in-laws were not believers.
Right.
Mm. So that made a difference.
It does.
But actually, you know what? My wife has commented on this before. I think sometimes professing Christians can be more difficult than unbelievers at points. So that's another aspect of this that comes into play. And again, we're addressing several questions that are coming into our mail at generations.org email address. I had a question. Here it is. I wanted to see if you could do an episode on how to deal with difficult relatives, in-laws as a dad. We've had relatives criticize and undermine our parenting choices for our entire marriage, almost 12 years. Most of it's done subtly, but other times openly. As parents, it's been tempting at times to just cut off all correspondence, but we also want to honor the Lord and show love. Any issues that we've ever brought up to discuss and hopefully move forward on is responded to with antagonism, anger, and further criticism. As a dad, I've struggled with a sin of bitterness at times, but have asked the Lord for forgiveness, and I believe we are trying to patiently move forward biblically. We have set up boundaries and on and on. Okay, so that's the first one. We'll hit the second one in just a moment, but let's address this one at a time. I think to talk through this is important. It sounds to me like communication in this situation is not working.
Mm-hmm.
They've attempted some communication. It's just spiraling into more dysfunctionality in the communication and the relationship itself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, If we got unbelievers here, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. A couple of things I'm going to say from the outset, because I've had some experience with this with members in our church. Number one, it's really helpful to get perspective from your own elders and pastors.
Yeah.
Now, even in my case, I'm this amazingly objective person. Yeah. I'm just kidding. But still, I see myself as fairly objective. But when it comes to relationships within families, I'm not sure I'm the most objective person. And I think it's amazing that if you just sit in front of pastors, say, here's the situation, the pastors can actually bring some objective things to play that you never thought of. Now, a couple of things. I've had one situation where both parents and adult married children and their respective pastors, they went to different churches. We got into the same room together over 2 to 3 hours. Again, these were the in-laws. And the children,
right.
And so the children are married, and we have these in-laws, and there was some conflict. So the parents, the grandparents, were attending some little Baptist church in downtown Denver, and they were attending our church. The children were attending our church. And so the two pastors and the two couples in the same room for 2 to 3 hours We worked it out and effectively saved the relationship. I mean, it really worked out well. But this is kind of rare because, you know, you got to have humility.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Yeah. Go figure. You do.
It's tough. I know. Sorry I had to say it, but one of the qualifications for working stuff out is humility.
It is.
And they've got to listen to counsel from objective, faithful, thoughtful pastors. And pastors oftentimes are hesitant to get involved in these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be submission to the church. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of that going on. There's a lot of church hopping. It's not a lot of commitment to church. It's not a lot of submission to pastors. Pastors aren't always engaging. And I get that. Now, there's a book out there called Toxic In-Laws, published by Lewis and Roth, which is the Alexander Strauch publishing organization. It deals with the epidemic of toxicity in these relationships, really all kinds of relationships in the present cold, sort of derelationalized age. But this guy's basic theory or approach to this is smile, don't say anything, and pray. That's kind of like his conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which, as I see it, is a little bit of just sort of duct tape the thing together and drag along for indefinite periods of time.
Have to chew on that one for a little while.
Oh, I know. And sadly, you know, people kind of just drag along. And I, you know, this is, I don't know, 60% of the problems out there. I would say the gospel can do stuff. Yeah. I really believe in Jesus here.
Right.
And I think we should believe in Jesus. I think we should pray for a miracle that the gospel would step in. People would humble themselves, confess their sins one to another, and call me, you know, Pollyannish about it, but I think it's this kind of thing would work. I really believe, you know, this would work if that would happen.
Yeah.
After 65 years of living, I've run out of brooms and rugs to sweep stuff underneath that rug.
Yeah.
It just, in the end of the day, it does, the quiet and say nothing doesn't work. Now, I get it with in-laws. You've got so many different things going on. You're honoring and you're loving.
Right.
Let's realize the premise is this. There's a creation of a new household. And they're going to build a new house. They're the general contractors. They're the ones that get to bring in subcontractors.
Oh, yeah.
And they should go to their in-laws and their parents for help in building this house. But boy, the in-laws need to remember.
They need to back off.
They're building the house. Yeah. And building new houses is not easy. Mm-hmm. And if you have six different opinions of what that house should look like, you're going to have trouble.
Yeah, if you have sidewalk superintendents yelling at you from all sides, that's kind of confusing. You're right. Yeah.
Todd, and we have to remember that as like the parents.
That's right.
But from this listener's perspective, you know, he doesn't have that control over them or anything. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, engaging in communication to obviously address the concerns is important. He says that's not been responded to well. I would say that, you know, he does have an obligation. We all have an obligation to honor. So we have to keep that is the command the Lord's given us. Yes, they might be having all these challenges.
Even if they're unbelievers.
Right. But remember, absolutely. But you must honor. And so I would encourage honor, continue to honor, patience. Mm-hmm. This is going to take some patience. This is probably not going to be solved overnight. And also, go to the church, or it might take, you know, it might bringing someone else in, a third party, a pastor, somebody that can bring the, we've done that in our church, bring these, you know, the children and the parents together and say, let's talk through the differences.
You know, one specific thing that I would say to this situation, and Kevin, you taught me this a while ago, is there might be a list of 10 things that they don't appreciate about the in-laws, but they're, go find the two things that those in-laws are good at. And go ask them their advice on
both. And that'll be honoring. Things. That's honoring.
That's the honoring part.
Yeah.
Set aside the 10 things you don't like about them.
Right.
Go find the two things that they are good at.
You appreciate. Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah.
That's a way to start.
Have you ever had the thought, brothers, that if I just didn't have this issue in my life, just this one issue, everything would be great?
Oh, yeah.
You ever have that impression?
Your wife said something the other day, I'm fruitful and faithful and fruitful. Yeah. She said, around our house, we say it's not what comes at you,
but what's coming out of you.
What's coming out of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But my point is this is the trial that God has placed in your life.
That's right.
This is the thing.
This it's like, is, own it. It's, own it's it. Mine. Exactly.
It's your baby. Yeah. Take that baby and, you know, struggle through it by prayer.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Don't waste a good trial.
Don't waste a good trial. Exactly. Right. This is right. the means by which you're going to grow in faith and love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people closest to you are the hardest to love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that always the way it is? I mean, it's okay if it's just the checkout clerk at the grocery store. I mean, I have no trouble, for the most part, being polite with her. No issue.
Yeah.
Actually, I have not sinned against a grocery checkout clerk in quite some time.
And that's because there's really no relationship.
Exactly. The people closest to you are the hardest to love.
There's no time now, together where they see yourself.
Now, with relationships, you have to be intentional and wise. Now, I don't particularly like the idea of boundaries. It's not a biblical word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but and yet there is a degree of engineering distance where we can't just jump into people's laps just kind of like, hi, you know, I'm just going to live with you. No, there's the leaving and cleaving element. Absolutely. So there is something of a distance that develops, and that's okay. But use biblical categories, as in 1 Corinthians 13, where love is not rude, and at the same time, love is not easily offended. And so you have both sides of this aspect of love. You're not easily offended by how they approach you, and you are not rude in how you are approaching them. Now, if that works two ways, in other words, in a total of four factors, 2 times 2 equals 4 on the love is not rude, love is not easily offended, for me, for our side, and for their side, that's four factors. That's not just two factors. That's four factors. So if we're working the four factors, if I'm working the two factors on my side, they're working the two factors on their side, then you know what? Everything's going to work out.
You confuse me when you get all engineering on me. When you
2 times 2, that's not too intense, Bill. That's 2 times 2 is 4.
They're all working on all the same things at the same time.
Yeah, if both sides are working on both issues at the same time in the communication, it's going to work out.
It's going to work out then.
When you say love is not easily offended, the implication is somebody's coming at you rudely and offending you.
But if somebody comes at you rudely and you're not easily offended, it's going to work.
That's right.
If you're doing what you can not to be rude to them, and they're not easily offended on their side at the same time, you with me?
I'm with you.
Now it's all working out because all four factors are being affected. You know, both factors being worked on both sides.
Yep.
And now the relationship's going to work. And we got love, like, you know, oil in the cylinders.
Yes.
And if love's working the cylinders and forgiveness, by the way, let's throw forgiveness into the mix as well.
Mm-hmm.
If love and forgiveness are working in the cylinders, voila, the Jesus approach to life is going to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but in lieu of high levels of dysfunctionality, you got to be realistic. This is the other aspect to this. And you may wish there to be closer relationships, but wisdom may dictate that you engineer 8 feet distance instead of 2 feet distance in order to maintain a peaceful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible does say, as much as is in you, live at peace with all men.
Yes. Right.
So that's another overarching principle that ties into this.
And some of this, I think, you take a period. Like if you're really struggling, like he mentions here, any issues that we've ever brought up to discuss and hopefully move forward on is responded with antagonism, anger, and further criticism.
Oh boy.
How do you operate in that? I say, you know what, family, we're going to take a 6-month hiatus from talking about any of these things, and we're going to go find 12 things we can do for grandma and grandpa to help them. We're going to go serve them.
That's good.
And not talk about any of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to do for 6 months is go serve and love on them because they must be hurting in some way to be responding in this way. And
that's
children, this is what you do. When people respond to you in this way, you turn around and you go serve them and love them.
That's good.
And expect that God's going to change their heart.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's go do
that's
that.
Right.
Todd,
that's
have
right.
you had any glitches in relationships, or how do you work through those things?
Yeah. You know, and as I mentioned before, it does take a waiting on the Lord and looking to God. I think you're kind of going, what you're saying is good because we can't control the other.
Right,
we
right.
can't change the other people. It is nice
it's not
when,
our job.
When both sides are operating perfectly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, right. That we can do what we can do. And so we have to, I think your comment of starting of what are we grateful for? There's certainly some things we do appreciate.
Right.
And we're grateful. We're thankful for these things.
Mm-hmm.
And recognize those. And then, yeah, find ways to serve. But also, we need to continually, and I think for dad, we're talking to dads, you know, it can be harder like for our wives or for our children, and how to help shepherd them and navigate them with the right response is so, so important.
Let's just deal with this question of criticizing, undermining parenting choices.
Mm-hmm.
Let's deal with that for just a moment.
What
do you do? Maybe there is an issue. Mm-hmm. Well, here, number one, if there's a clear violation of God's law going on. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes this is just application and disagreement concerning application. Right. That's why, okay, you know, are they just disobeying God? And you're sure of that. Well, sometimes as a brother or sister in Christ, you do have an obligation to bring an issue to a brother or sister in Christ, and there should be some reception. Right. If you're attending different churches, I think oftentimes, you know, you can trust pastors, elders, shepherds on the other side to help with that. But I do think there's limited passport in many situations, and you have to consider your passport. Do you have enough passport to come alongside? Now, Bill, are there ways in which to address something in a thoughtful, careful way where it doesn't come across as criticism?
Right. Again, now, if you're talking about receiving the criticism, right?
No, I'm talking about giving it.
Okay.
Because how do these parents, maybe there's a disagreement on parenting choices.
Right.
For the most part, I would say keep your mouth shut. But are there instances at which you might say something? That's the question I'm posing to you.
I think you come in with humility saying, number one, I may be wrong on this issue.
And we've made mistakes
in some
of these areas.
Right. And I don't have the full story. Yeah. I don't know everything that's going on in your home.
That's right.
You preface everything with humility saying, mm-hmm. I might have this wrong, but here's what I see. If you're talking about the people giving it. Now, these are the ones that are taking it on, mm-hmm. right? What do you do with that? I think generally, whatever you have criticism, right? You guys are elders. You get criticism. What do? You look at the two things that they might be right on or are right on, and you maybe set aside the six or eight things they're not right about. Mm-hmm. Would they have the wrong list on mm-hmm. it, or they've exaggerated on? But you try to focus on the two things because God's bringing it to you to make you strong.
And let's pray over it. You know, one thing I've said, and I think my children have approached me at times with, you know, hey, Dad, this or that. Uh-huh. And I've responded with, you know what? You may be right here. But there are four lists. There's your list mm-hmm. of my problems. Mm-hmm. There's my list of my problems. Mm-hmm. There's the devil's list of my problems. And then there's the Holy Spirit's list.
Right.
So they're as much
different.
As...
they're all different.
But as much as you can contribute to the Holy Spirit's list...
That's the one to
I'm
go with.
I'm listening.
That's the one to go
and
with.
I want to pray through what you just said to me. I want to pray through that. So I think that's a good way to say it. You know, mm-hmm. hey, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
And you know what? It may not be... You may not be batting... 1,000 on this.
Right.
But you might be batting 880.
Right.
In which case, I'm going to take this and I'm going to pray over it. So that's one way to approach it.
Well, you know, it comes to mind whatever your position you're in, maybe the parent, maybe the child, but we're called to lead in love. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what you're saying, Bill. It's you know, how do we serve? How do we lead in love? Mm-hmm. I remember, and I did not do this well many times, but I remember one time in particular. And I was really convicted to, I was actually reading a book called The Silent Adam, and I was compelled like not to be the silent Adam. Because often is, you know, when it's maybe in-laws, is you kind of want to be like, they're not my family. I don't know what to do. I'm out of here. But I was called to not be that Adam over there doing nothing. Right. To step in and to love, to lead in love. Remember we kind of had with an in-laws like big, this is early in our marriage, a big kind of blow up and it was pretty tense and they're, you know, it was like, we're just going to leave. And I'm like, well, this is bad. And I just said, well, I tell you what, I'll just go buy us some Taco Bell. Because I don't know what to do. I mean,
you ate Taco Bell.
Well, I mean, this was like this was like
an issue with that.
I was like, I didn't have money. I didn't have money for that. But I'm like, I got to figure out how to like love somehow. How to do something to like at least encourage, you know, something here and be like, well, you know what? I'll just buy us dinner because I and it did. It softened everybody. It was like, oh, like. Wow, you know, like somebody loves somebody here.
You
know what I mean? And it was imperfect, but we have to figure out in that situation, God help me to love.
Wasn't there leftover food that they gave you and you didn't have enough money to pay for it?
You know, I don't know.
You know, Subway. And negate the biblical principle, a soft answer turns away wrath.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean,
do not negate
you know what, guys? I mean, go to the Bible. Turns out the Bible's got a lot of good stuff.
Right. Yeah,
about this kind of thing.
Right.
I'm serious, and to the extent, okay. So you got wrath, you got criticism, you got I'm tired of you guys doing this, saying this, whatever. A soft answer turns away wrath.
That's right. That's the key.
A soft answer to the text turns away wrath. A soft answer to the email turns away wrath. A soft answer to the phone call turns away wrath.
A gift makes room.
And a gift makes room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing how this stuff works. Try it.
Yeah. Amen.
Try it out.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Try it.
Let me go to the last email we got concerning in-laws and outlaws. Okay, so here it is. I have a question that I've not seen answered on the podcast. My in-law does not show any interest in my children's lives.
Oh, boy.
She takes care of one set of grandchildren but largely ignores mine. When she calls to speak to her son, I guess her husband, she does not ask about the kids or try to speak to them. And I'm moving down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
She constantly shows partiality and tends to constantly compare my husband and I to her other son and his family. My husband is used to it and does not say much, but it bothers me. I pray for my in-laws and my attitude towards her because I want to remain respectful, but I do not want my children treated unfairly. She asks for pictures of her grandchildren ever so often, and when I do send pictures, she posts the two children that she favors up in the front of the house and leaves my daughter that looks like me in the back of the house, etc. Okay, so, and the thing goes on a bit. But, wow, how do we respond to this, brothers? I will say that it's really hard for moms especially when people appear to be going after the kids. It just is. The female species is more deadly than the male. You know, when it comes to defending their young,
sure.
You read the poem by Kipling sometime if you want to. But,
sure.
And so I get that. I understand that. But at the same time, God wants us to be forgiving, loving, assuming the best, all of the 1 Corinthians 13 stuff. How does this woman approach her mother-in-law in this? Bill, thoughts?
Number one, you have to teach your children those very principles. You know, our children can be a bit more resilient than we give them credit for. This idea that we have to protect them from every harm possible, every possible bad word or bad thought or bad intention, which is clearly here, you don't have to protect them from everything. You just have to help them to work through it because this is what life is about.
Yeah.
They're going to be treated unfairly, unlovingly, and it may even be by family.
Yeah.
So you have to teach your children. Sometimes people are unloving to you if they start to notice. She mentioned that they're too young even to notice it. But don't have that overprotectiveness that God is bringing this into your life to help you to teach your children these valuable lessons.
That's good. I mean, it seems like there's obviously a relational dynamic here between the mother-in-law and the wife. This seems to be the breakdown. Maybe the children are sort of the outflow of some of that. But it seems like, you know, there are times where, first of all, I would say, you know, we have to come together as a married couple on these in some unity of how to approach the situation. You know, you don't want one member of the marriage to feel alone in navigating.
And this could be driving a wedge between husband and wife.
Absolutely.
Watch out for that.
Yes.
That could be an issue.
But I mean, we've got to have first unity in the marriage to know how to engage this situation together, not as a one-off, he likes me, doesn't like her, whatever. But there has to be unity there. And, you know, again, like we've said before, it could be an opportunity to go to the church and get counsel there.
Yeah. So I think working the marriage is probably well worth it. Mm-hmm. That unity in marriage would help this situation tremendously. Yeah. Hopefully the husband is starting to connect with the issue.
Right.
He says here, my husband is used to it and does not say much.
Yeah, which means, but he needs to understand.
You got to be engaged.
The dynamic.
Gotta love.
He needs
love
to understand this dynamic.
Yeah. No
and perhaps,
Adam.
And perhaps getting a little bit of counseling for the marriage within the local church is probably helpful. That way we can be on the same page.
Yeah.
Right.
As we're addressing, there's something about a unity in the marriage where, you know, it kind of gives you a little bit of resilience to whatever the in-laws might be bringing your way.
Right.
So I think that's a good point. Also, somehow decent communication needs to open up the issue because, you know, you're assuming motives. You're not really sure what the issue is.
Yes.
She's probably thinking, I got about a 92% confidence that this is my mother-in-law's real issue.
Yeah.
But we're not absolutely sure.
Right.
So communication and opportunities to get together in the same room, maybe even with a pastoral counselor, could be super helpful because I think oftentimes you're shocked. You're, I thought it was this issue. Turns out not to be that issue.
Right.
Turns out to be this other issue.
Right.
So the preconceived problem was not the problem.
Mm.
But there's another problem that's, you know, that mother-in-law is dealing with, or maybe there's a communication issue that's arisen within the the relationship itself.
Probably.
So those are the sorts of things to look out for. Let me close this with just some overarching, watch out for these sins. What are the sins that we need to be watching out for in these relationships? First, I think, is the controlling anger thing.
Sure.
Or just the whole controlling thing. Like, I've got to be in control mm-hmm. of what's happening with my children and grandchildren. And there's a lot of fear sometimes that's working. Yeah, you know, like, I'm afraid they're going off the deep end.
Right.
Oh, the grandkids aren't going to turn out very well. Mm-hmm. You know, oh. Well, trust in God and prayer.
Bubble wrap.
Yeah. But trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
Pray.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot you can do once your children are out of the house.
Yeah.
And once they're adults. At this point, you know what? Move mountains. Try prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids need prayer. It's mm-hmm. one thing my parents did. My parents have done almost nothing in terms of getting involved in our child raising.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? They pray every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think my mother has prayed hours a day for probably the last 40 years.
Mm.
For her children and grandchildren.
Mm.
So controlling, you know what? You're not in control. You're not in control, man.
Right.
God's in control.
Right.
That's number one. I think that's pretty much number one. Mm. Manipulation and lying, being easily offended. We talked about that. Just love expressing itself differently.
Selfish, too.
Self-centeredness.
Selfishness.
Yeah.
That you want certain things to happen a certain way for your benefit. Selfishness.
Anything else strikes you?
You know, it's just there's going to be opportunities here, I think, as well, for if we confront them rightly and we confront them in love and in faith and through service.
Right.
I think as dad, again, we're talking to dads. We need to be hopeful about what God wants and look towards that outcome.
Amen.
You know, there is a let's just move to the other side of the country kind of thing, and that'll solve the problem. It's no, let's be hopeful that Jesus is going to repair and restore this. And
Amen.
And there's a you know, kind of, it's like I'm just encouraging dads to be the ones that say, yes, we're in the valley, but let's God's bring us to the other side, the other shore here. He's gonna bring us there and to give that vision to your family of hope that no, these relationships are good and can be restored and fruitful and glorify God.
Amen.
And then on the positive side. What are you doing the rest of the time? And you touched on this already.
Mm. Yeah.
Be kind. Be kind.
When in doubt, love.
Be
love
kind.
Another way.
Yes. Be as kind as you can possibly be.
Yes.
Serve. Every opportunity in terms of engaging with. Mm-hmm. You know it's coming. You know they're going to drop by this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do? How can you, you know, meet them at the door? Smile.
Right.
Thank you for coming.
And train the
children
to this,
appreciate what you're doing.
Too.
Affirming the things, the good things they've done.
Amen.
Keep going.
Yeah, the children. Yeah, the children have got to be a part of it, too. It's not just the wife, right? The children, grandma and grandpa are coming over. Let's meet her at the door. Let's tell her how much we love her. Let's give her a big hug when she walks in the door. Starting everything out of the positive. Rather than, grandma's coming, everybody runs to their room and go, I'm going to go read my book for a little while.
Yeah, that's not good.
So I guess my view is that if 94% of your engagement or 97% of your engagement is affirmation, appreciation, gratitude, kindness, serving, then maybe you've got the passport to deal with those difficult conversations the rest of the time.
It allows for the Holy Spirit to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's such a fertile ground there for the Spirit to come in and work when there's peace.
That's right.
And
well,
the tension has to begin.
And I have to say, I'm not doing this perfectly, but I'm learning. I'm growing.
Mm-hmm.
And shouldn't we all be growing in this? I mean, this is what the Holy Spirit is supposed to be doing in our lives.
That's right.
With the growth of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes, that's right.
Well, friends, and it turns out the family and family relationships is the environment in which, this stuff is supposed to be growing
in all of us.
It is. Let's pray for this. Let's pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our families. This is what we need more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just continuing the conversation. And we'll hopefully get back to this subject. Again, friends, if you've got inputs, I'm sure we didn't answer all the issues today, especially as affecting in-law issues. So please email us at mail@generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, as well as Todd Strasser and Bill Roach, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation. This has been a production of the Generations Media Network. For more information, go to generations.org/media.